I think the Mitoim, we're holding now by the end of the Shloshim, toward the Shloshim of Rav Ozner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was Taka Yadua and Kala Olam, his Psakim. I thought today I'm going to talk a little bit about what I Davka tried to pick things specifically that, you know, he has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of psakim. I thought specifically, you know, it's Erev Shabbos. We'll talk about specifically the shilas which are Negeya Shabbos, and specifically shilas that I was asked over here, specifically. It's things that he spoke about. That's interesting. You know, he was his meridik asiyata d'shmaya came because of also his meridik on Hoggis. His gevaldik on Hoggis. Everybody knows that Rav Ozner was a meridik, a person. Such a, I heard two stories about him, which I got a lot on. One story was that his wife went to get jewelry on Erev Pesach, Erev Yontif, or whatnot. And it's not even such an old story. It's like a year ago. When he already was, it was Alt-Alt-Yid. It was like 101 at the time. It was Nishke Ven Ken Yunga. He wasn't a young man. And so he told his wife to go for Erev Pesach to get jewelry, something for the Yontif. And you understand that when his wife walked into the jewelry store in Bnei Brak, said, then obviously, you know, her husband's wife is here. It's also pretty good for business, probably. So everyone came to her. So when she came home, she told her husband that she got something. You know, he asked to see what it is. Oh, it's a very nice bracelet. No, it's a ring. Oh, it's a very nice ring. Okay. You know, but the Maisa, she told him how they treated her so nicely in the store. And so Rav Ozner called the store. I heard the story not from the Bala Maisa, but I heard the story from the Baal HaMaisa's son. He said that, so Rav Ozner called the store. Rav Ozner called the store, and, you know, to thank them. You know, he treated his wife. Married the, so, got over there. So the guy picks up the phone, and he says, Ken, so he goes, Shalom, Shmuel Ozner. I want to thank you. You know, so he was a Psachasidish guy. So he started saying, oh, yo, like, you know, he thought it was like his friend, Anshel, yo, Anshel, Shkoyach, you know? So Rav Ozner said again, he said, I wanted to thank him for how you treated my wife. So, you know, he goes, Vosner, Vosner, was the best. You're Vosner. He goes, yo, yo. And then afterward, the person, I think he dropped the phone and whatever, and then the story is that. But the married the Kazakh, the Yid, who's up such a the guy's claudius on his shoulders, to call up a jewelry store to thank it. It's one story I have to lot on from. Another story, you see, Likhay, when you get from there, Manhoggis. Another story was his son-in-law said over that last year at the Seder, he was very, very weak, very, very shach. And he had on Hagga, Rav Ozner, that they would learn the entire Hilchas Korban Pesach, I think, at the Seder. But he was so weak that they made it through the Agada. And they used to do it, I think, before they had a whole Malach. I think they did it before Magen, I'm not sure exactly. And then at Shulchan Aruch, they started going through it. Right? And Rav Ozner was very, very weak. And they were just sitting there reading. He said by the end of Shulchan Aruch, he said they never saw him think it was like a fire. It brought him back to life. Right? They were talking about Hilchos Korban Pesach, and he was very weak during the Seder, during that God. He wasn't able to do the Magen properly. But once they started getting into the Rambam and going into the Hilchos Korban Pesach, he said, you saw it was like a Tchias HaMeisim. It started slowly, and then he was alive, and then it was then like with fire mamish. He said, and then afterward, you know, when it ended, it was back right Shvach again. Shvach, it's a Merit HaKazach, how Torah can make a person, Meroimim a person, such a Tchias HaMeisim. So let's see a little bit of his Torah, it's Negei HaKashav, specifically the Shailas that I was talking about over here. We'll see. His Malachim, we'll see. Maybe other Malachim also. The contact lens solution. I get asked this shayla over here a lot, everywhere I go now. Are you allowed to use the contact lens solution on Shabbos? Now, just to make a long story short, this is a shayla that is really a new shayla. You know, I gave a shir in a different place, and I said this is going back about 4 years ago. We'll see what I hold now. It's maybe a little bit changed once I looked into it a little bit. But I said a few years ago that Rav Ozner, Rav Eliashiv, they hold it's awesome. I'll explain in a moment. I said this over about 4 years ago, and there was a bacha there who said that he asked for Shmuel Kamenetsky. Shmuel Kamenetsky said, there's no problem. What's the problem with Chalas? I thought it was very strange because it's a big shayla. I'd say it's no shayla. You could say it's a shayla. I'm paskin like this, but say it's no shayla. It's Mutter Gomer. Yeah, it sounded a little bit strange. So when Shmuel came to Eretz Yisrael, so I went to him. I said to him that lens solution, is it a problem to use the lens solution on the contacts? So he says, I don't see why there should be a problem. So I explained to him, which we'll see in a moment, what the Rav Ozner says and Rav Eliashiv says about the problem with the lens solution. Actually, more 4 years ago, going back 6 years ago, 7 years ago. So he said, well, Rav Eliashiv says, it's usher. He says, look, I'll tell you a big klal. They come to me, they ask me a shayla. They don't start out, Rav Eliashiv said, it's usher. They ask me, is lens solution usher? What's a lens? I thought lens is a hard lens. a glass, the way he describes me, a lens, could there be a problem of taking a lens solution and putting it on a glass? You're allowed to wash a window. Eh? So the answer is, there's no problem washing a window. So what's the problem washing it? You're allowed to wash your glasses on Shabbos. What's the problem with a lens? Eh? So he says, now I hear the shaila. I hear what the Riyashu is saying. And may look, so that it could be a problem. So at least we have a shaila. You know, when you hear shaila, so let's see what Rav Vazna says about the shaila. So Vazna says, you know, there's a sugya in Zvachim. The sugya in Zvachim talks about, it's basically, I'm going to make this as short and simple as possible because I want to get to a few psalkim today. But what's negay us is that if I take water and I wash this table, I wash the shtender, was I over on Liban? Was I over? We know one of the lamatas melachas is not allowed to clean. You're not allowed to take this baggage. You get a stain on Shabbos. You take a little spit and you wipe it off. That's Liban deraisa. Right? And it is in the Sanhedrin where empowered that act would be punishable by Mises Basin. Right? That's if you take a little bit of spit and go like this and wipe it off, that's Liban deraisa. We hold lalach if you have dust on your jacket. Well, you're not even allowed to do that. Because even though you're not using water, but if that's the normal methodology of cleaning, that also, the Mishabur holds also as a deraisa. Mishabur goes so far, that's deraisa. But certainly if you're using liquid, that's deraisa. So now can I take liquid and wipe off a stain on the table? I take some water and wipe off a stain on the table. So the answer is mutter. Why is it not liben? So the answer has to be, is that a table, a wood and whatnot, these types of things, are not absorbent. So the whole issue of liben is when I'm going into something absorbent and I'm taking out. Now, Baisa, listen closely. You take water, you put it on table, you're going to see after a while, if it's not this type of wood, but you're going to see after a while on wood that it does absorb. It gets in there, wood gets wet. Right? You go to a picnic table, wood gets wet. The afa pike in Chazal say that's mutter. So you have to say that it needs a higher level of absorbency to be liben. Okay? So I'm going to give you the extremes. Wood, you're allowed to take water and wipe it off. That's non-absorbent at all. The other extreme is a baguette. Clothing material. You take this, even the mere dunking it into liquid, Chazal say. Once you take this and you drop it into water, it's so absorbent that it sucks out. That's in fact, it's so absorbent it sucks out the bleas of the dirt. And Mamela, that's usher even without scrubbing. So you have two extremes over here. So we'll say this is 100% absorbent in halacha, and we'll say wood is considered 0% in halacha absorbent. What about the middle? What about the middle? The middle in halacha is leather. Gemara in Zvachim talks about leather, suede shoes, these things. You take your suede shoes and your leather shoes. Suede is a bad example, actually. Suede is more material. Leather. You take your leather shoes. Are you allowed to take your leather shoes and dunk them into water? You stepped in New York's finest. Okay? And now, you want to know, can you take your shoes? Right? Everyone wants to know. Could you take your shoes and could you dunk them into water? Right? For those of you who aren't from New York, it's, you know, maybe you should move. But anyway, you take your shoes. Are you allowed to dunk them into water? So let's see. Right? If it's like a baguette, it's 100% absorbent. A lot of that would be aser. If it's like wood, it would be mutter. So Gemara says like this. The Gemara says leather is, what we'll again, in my language, leather is 50%, we'll call it. Okay? What's the difference that it's 50%? What's enough to mean it's 50%? If it's 50%, so Gemara says that to dunk it into water, you're allowed to do. Because that level of absorbency that it has to happen on its own, that's only by a baguette, which is 100%. But if you take the leather and you scrub the leather, you put the water in, you know, you're scrubbing the leather, that's awesome. Okay, that crystal clear, that's all you need to know to go weiter. That's all we know. That's what we know from the Gemara. Now, what happens if I find you something like a contact lens, the soft contact lens, and the people that make the contact lens solutions and whatnot, my friends at Bausch & Lomb, so they tell you that this is the chayra, right? Where you're pouring in that solution, the solution has detergent, and that detergent, solution, it takes this protons there and croutons there and everything goes inside, and it goes inside the contact, and it gets to the kishkas of the inside of the contact, and we're not talking about the outside dirt, that little black dot or whatever, we're talking about that it goes into it, and it sucks out the proteins. Your eyes, the Rebbeinu Shloimeh made your eyes with a constant supply of tears, right? Because you know, there's Nebuch, I knew somebody Nebuch that he had done a machle Nebuch, and one of the results, the tzitzas of the medicine was it caused that his eyes weren't able to create tears, and it was a tremendous, terrible agnes nefesh. Rebbeinu Shlomo makes a system that flushes out your eyes, a hafla de kabria. It takes out and flushes out constantly all the fats and whatnot. Your contact requires even more because it's an absorbent thing and it's sucking out. So you have you really require double. That's why a lot of people use tears. Everyone knows this. So what happens is the contact gets filled with this protein, the schmutz, and you need to go into the kishkas of the contact and to suck it out. I say, okay, that's what they're doing. Okay? Now, the Maisa, the company's Prav, they tell you what's taking place over here. the liquid is has a detergent, it goes in, there's a matrix and a dust and a schnitzel, everything, they have everything going on over there. It goes into the system and it cleanses the system in a super absorbent way. Now, what is this? What is this? So, again, I'm teaching in my language how we would say just to understand it. But when they asked the Shad Rav Osner, so Rav Osner said, look, leather, we know, you're allowed to dunk into water. Okay? And the shoes, you're allowed to. I said suede is different. Suede is like a beggar. I shouldn't use suede as an example. But leather, for sure, you're allowed to dunk your shoes into the water. Okay, maybe the laces might be a problem. Fine. But the leather itself is not a problem because even though it's in the water, but it's not as absorbent as beggar. On the other hand, beggar is 100%. So Rav Osner said, this is like 75. Okay, in our language, right? This is like 75. So what's 75? In other words, it absorbs and it sucks out even without doing anything. You don't have to scrub it. Everyone knows you put it inside that solution and it does it on its own. So that's like 75. So what's that? So we don't know. We know 50 is mutter. We know 100 is aser. 75, no, we don't know. Right? And that's why, again, I'm making a very long story short, but that's why Rav Osner, Rav Eliashiv held that to use this contact solution on Shabbos is aser. Now, for years, I tell people, what's the Eitzah? If you want to be Machmer or Vosner, what's the Eitzah? So the company tells you that this solution, if you read the box, I mean, you know, you guys should read these things. If you read the box says on it, never use a solution 2 days in a row. That's like the worst crime that you could do. Right? Why? Because the whole knack of the solution is it only has the ability of cleansing on that first, those detergent agents, they only go in on the first day, they only machain cane on the second day, already of the usage, it's already gone. And now all it is it's just a basic saline, it's just a basic liquid. Right? Now, Lemaisa, we know that a lot of us, we use the detergent solution 2 days in a row, right? Because taka, we just don't want that the contact should, should shrivel up and turn into a chais, like a schnitzel. We just want to put it in there, and we want to make sure that it stays alive, right? So I always say like this, I used to tell people, if the contact is wet, and you're using day-old solution, it's wet, day-old solution, you take the contact, and you put it into the water while it's wet, right? So you're really not doing anything. Because it's already wet. It's already wet from your eye, right? What are you doing? You're putting it into water. The water, they're telling you the company doesn't work. What are you going to say? You're going to say, yeah, they're just telling you that to get you to buy it, right? But that's at least a suffix. So it's called an halacha, a suffix secret. I don't want to go into all these halachas. I'm trying to get to a point over here. But besides, that's what I always told people they would be allowed to do. And it could be even Rav Osner would agree to that. In other words, if your contact is wet and you're putting it into day-old solution, so then there's a makom to be mekel. Lechayim, right? Maisa. Just recently, I taka looked into it. Again, I looked into it. You have to be mavar a little bit more. When I was taka in Chutzlaritz, I looked into it. Somebody there who's a major maven in these nyanim, and he showed me and explained to me in a much more professional fashion. And it would be very difficult for me to explain it to laymen like yourselves, right? So, because of that, I'm going to make it as simple as possible because I don't want to confuse you. Okay? Okay. And it's something like this. To make a long story short, what's really taking place over here is that there's 1,000 layers, there's really a million layers, of plastics. Like a million layers. What happens is, and listen closely, what happens is that when the water goes into these layers, it's not really happening what I just said, that it's getting absorbed in plastic. Because the plastic itself is a non-absorbent material. So what's really happening is basically that the water is being held in a pocket between two pieces of plastic. There's 2 billion pieces of plastic there, but it's being held between these two pieces of plastic, let's say. Okay? And what happens is that the water from your tear, how does it work in your eye? The way it works is, let's say, that the water goes, pushes out that water, and then it continues. So it's a pocket holding water. The next water comes in, pushes out from that pocket, removes the water that was there. And that's how it goes. And when you take it and you put it inside, let's say, the solution, so what's happening is that the water that was in that pocket is being pushed out by the previous water, and now it's being held the new water, and then that water leaves, and then that water, that's the constant flow. That is not exactly the same thing as Lieben. I would wonder if somebody would explain this Metzias to Rav Osner, would he say, no, since we perceive it as being absorbed, so then, in Halacha, we look at it like that, or would he say, no, it's a whole different Metzias, that's not how it works by a beggar. By a beggar, it goes into the fibers. It gets it super absorbent.
What?
Come again? Synthetic is a very big shayla. Synthetic.
So,
but the only thing is that the reason Rav Osner was machmir is because he said it to something deraisa. Right? Right? But now that we're saying it's not a shalu suffik d'oraisa, it's a shalu suffik d'rabbanan.
But by synthetic, he holds also suffik d'oraisa?
No, because by synthetic, at least you'll say that there it's an issur d'rabbanan because it's doimin of this. Right. Right? But here, there's nothing that plastic is doimin to b'chlal. And we're trying to say.
So what was he thinking?
No. Because he, at that point, they told him that it's, like we said, 75% absorbent. 75% more than.
Mamish.
Yeah. Sorry?
Mamish, not like synthetic.
No, we know there's a concept of being allowed to take leather and putting it into the water. That we find.
But he thought that plastic.
No, but you do see that plastic does absorb some. That leather absorbs, right? You look at leather, it's still wet. The Alpha Beacon, we're allowed to put it in.
He didn't know that the
he doesn't know that. I don't know. In the tshuva, he doesn't talk about. In the tshuva, he doesn't talk about this the way it works. He doesn't say that there's layers and the water gets pushed out. He doesn't say that.
But he thought it was more machmir.
He thought. Sorry.
He thought that chomer absorbed.
Could be. Yeah, sure. Ravada. That's how it was explained. As I explained. So it's something to think about. We'll go on. I want to go to other shaylos of Rav Avner. We got a little bit of a likchei hatoiv of his Torah. It's not a shay like this. You know, there's a Shulchan Aruch actually. You want to just pass me a Mishnah Berurah? Give me a moment. Mishnah Berurah says like this. Sorry?
Conclusion.
The conclusion is I still think that you should do, you know, until further notice. I wouldn't be able to ask Rav Yashiv or Rav Avner at this point. It would be quite difficult. No. And I hope it's for a very long time that I can't ask them. But at this point, I would say like this. I would say most people don't lose anything by doing the first way I said. Right? And even though there are paiskim that are machmer on that, but that already has a vayit, you could be meikel. In other words, once you use the solution, already, so then now it doesn't have the detergent kayach anymore, and it's wet when it comes out of your eye. If it's not wet, you have a few problems. Number one is that it's already hard. If you waited a few minutes, it gets hard. So now when you're putting it to water, you might be over on tikkun mana also. You're making it a usable contact. Until this point, it's not usable, so that's a very big shaila. I would say if you take it out the second it comes out of your eye and go straight for the liquid, so then that could be makel on. If it's a liquid, that's a day old. That's a lochel ma'isa, I would say. And that everyone would be happy if you say it like that. Everybody's saying mechon that. So that you could be makel. Even though there are some points, I'm saying, but at least within this realm. Okay. Now listen to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says like this. B'makim she'ein yayin matzi. Listen closely, Kinderlach. B'makim she'ein yayin matzi. What does that mean? In a place where there's no wine. So yeshayman that makachin al sheker, you can make kiddush on beer, right? Ushar mashkin. What is this called in English, my friends and family? What's this called? Chamer medina, right? You all know this, right? Like Baimer is coming. I don't know what sheikh is, but okay. Like you know, fine. 3 day yontif, fine. Al kapanim. There's right. Everyone knows there's something called chamer medina. If I say, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? B'makim she'ein yayin matzi. The whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, the whole sif in Shulchan Aruch that discusses the concept of Chamer Medina, of using schnapps for Kiddush, of using beer for Avdala, whatever. The whole concept comes from that sif. I don't know a different sif that talks about Chamer Medina. Right? There is no other sif in the 1,705 Shulchan Aruch that talks about Chamer Medina. Well, there is actually one in Avdala, right? But it's the same type of a sif. It says the exact same thing. B'makim she'ein yayin matzi. When there's no wine, matzi. Okay, does anybody have a problem with that? Does anybody have a problem with that? Well, let's see. You walk into the Makolet. You know, actually, it's a great story of Rav Avner in the Makolet. Rav Avner didn't leave Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. You're there. Rav Avner didn't leave Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin for 3.5 years. Right? I know some people that they didn't come to Yeshiva for 3.5 years. But he didn't leave the Yeshiva for 3.5 years. Right? 3.5 years. So what happened on the day that he left Yeshiva? Right? So he walked outside. And he was going back to, I think, to Vienna. And he walks outside the yeshiva, and he turns to one of the bachrim, and he says to him, "Hey, look at this! They put over here a kiosk. A kiosk is like a makolet, like an optimal, right? A makolet, right? They put it. They looked there, Avner, like across the street from the yeshiva was like a makolet. They looked like a vazim with a karanga falling from a plane, right? Like a tomshu." What do you mean? The kiosk has been there. Makola is there for like the last 2 years. Like, you know, Rabbi Shapiro ostered anybody going there in the middle of the star. You know, like, for 2.5 years already, this kiosk is there. And he had no idea. He had no idea that there was somebody was made that story. He had no idea that there was a kiosk across the street. But we walked into the kiosk over here. Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh, it's Arab Shabbos. And we need to bring home something to make Kiddush on tomorrow. So we walk into the store. And you can't move away all these bottles of wine. They're all in the way, right? And there you find Epis in the back. Epis like a bottle of whiskey, right? Or you find a can of beer, yeah? So, the chayda, it should be mefurish in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed nowadays to make kiddush on whiskey, and that you can't make Havdalah on beer. Because what does the Shulchan Aruch say? That the only time you're allowed to make Kiddush Havdalah on beer, whiskey, is when Ein Yayin Motzi Be'ir. There's no wine in the ear. I'll go even further. I mean, you know, everybody say, let's say you're talking in your house and you don't have, all you have is whiskey and an interesting house, all you have is whiskey and you have beer, you don't have any wine. But you have a neighbor that has grape juice and you have a neighbor that has wine and you have all these other things. So what's the heter to make Kiddush, Havdalah, all these things? So in Eretz Yisrael, it's not as common. Most people taka make Kiddush only on wine. So I was thinking, maybe that's the pshat. Maybe in America, there's taka no wine. Now that's my pshat. Maybe in America, there's taka no wine. Right? I have to do with the thumb, I'm sorry. Right? Maybe in America, there's no wine. Okay? And I bazai, right? Oh, and in England, right? Maybe in England, there's no wine. And all there is beer and whiskey. Let me make sure I don't fall. Right? And all there is beer and whiskey. And then that's why they make Kiddush in... Okay, but that's like a Shver Teretz. You know what I mean?
On Shabbos.
Huh? Every Raya they have wine. Every Shtikal Raya. I was out of Bristol, America, and they had wine. So every Shtikal Raya. Every Raya they have wine. What?
On Shabbos.
Yeah, but then what we could do? It says over here you can only make Kiddush. So this was a Shaila that they asked the great Goyin, Rav Vosner. I wrote down where the Tshuva is because I know you guys want to look after. Rav Vosner's in Chelek. Where does it say there? No. Chelek. Chelek Gimel Simon Chavav. Chelek Hey Simon on a base. There are two Chesisha guys that asked him separately, you know. So, what's the law? So, Rav Vosner said an interesting part. Again, without Rav Vosner, you know, this is what we lost. But without Rav Vosner, we're in big trouble. So, Rav Vosner said, it's a good Shaila. He says, refers to Shulchan Aruch like this. He says, but maybe what you have to say, you got the Malam and Tzchos, you have to explain the Velt. So, Rav Vosner said, maybe you could say it like this. That was in a time, the Gemara, the Paiskim, they were in a time. Shkiven came fancy people, Coca-Cola, right? Orange juice, fancy people, Patel, fancy people, right? Fancy people, right? They lived in a world that there was water, there was beer, there was wine, right? That was a Gevend of Matthias, you know? Borscht, I'm sorry. Borscht, right? So it was wine, water, beer, borscht, okay? So there, in such a time, so the Chomer Medina, the wine of the Medina, Avada, might not have been, was dependent. In other words, if there's wine, that's what they drunk. Because they had to have a drink. There was water. Nobody drank water in those days. Also, the water wasn't so, you know, exactly hygienic. But Al-Kapanim, they would have the water. They would have this. So in such a situation where the person has some other drink, the drink of the country can't be water. And in that case, usually the water, the drink that you would drink was wine. That was the drink, right? In a country that didn't have wine, the Chomer Medina, the Chashav, a drink of that Medina was beer, was whiskey, was whatever other drink there was in that Medina. Because there had to be another drink at the meal, right? There was a Chomer Medina. This is an Arador, like us, right? We have the option of wine. And after Peking, we don't drink the wine. In other words, in their countries, if they would have had the option of wine, they would have drunk wine. So that shows you that about the wine, when you have wine, that's the most chashav. But us, we have wine, and we still don't drink wine. We walk in the Makalah, we pass the wine, and we get all the other drinks. So what does that show you? That shows you that the concept of Chomer Medina is not, you know, it's not black and white. It's not the pshat that Chomer Medina has to be only in a case of where there's no wine. If I show you that we don't drink wine, even when we have the wine, and we go out of our way to drink a different drink, then that would show you that that other drink is the Chomer Medina. That's the Chiddush of the Shevet HaLevi. It says, Im Kain.
It says Mefurish, yeah.
So he's explaining that over there it says only when Yayin is not Motzi because B'Metzias. If Yayin would have been Motzi, so then for Shteitzel they would have drunk wine. So he's just showing you that that's the only way in their time to have created a scenario that a different drink could be more chashav than wine. But that scenario is not shayach today because you see a guy walks into Makalit, he looks at the wine, he passes the wine, he gets the next drink. So you see that by us, by default, for a different reason, some other drink became the major chashav. Dude, and that's the hat there. So Coke is a good shayla, right? It's not so simple. No, the feed this is not so simple. Who says you can't? Who says? So Ramesha says you can't. Much as again, Lefira Vosner, I don't know. Lefira this Hesper of Rav Vosner, who says that you can't have Coca-Cola. According to Rav Moshe, you know, the Pepsi guys will say that. I mean, we know the truth. RC.
Super K.
Calm down. Okay. All right? Okay. But there's a drink out there called Taylor Stott. You guys know what this is, right? You give to drink. You'll go into the Margolid, right? I made a terrible mistake. I was a Bacher in Eretz Yisrael when I first came to Eretz Yisrael. I see this stuff. Pella. Coca-Cola costs 4 shekel. Right? 4 shekel for this thing. This Taylor Stug costs 42 agarot. 42 agarot. Right? 42. I bought two cases. You know, you see all the new Bachrim looking. You got two cases, you know. It's like that guy at the airport. He buys, like, you know, he's like, got a carton over here, Marlboro, I got a carton of this, right? Give him a carton, you will die cigarette. It's very good, and it's like 14th of the price. And he buys it, he comes in, you know, like, he's got this new you will die cigarette, you know, it's very good. Right? And then he starts smoking it. Right? It's a good way to stop smoking. That's a good one. Talk upon him. So, Coca-Cola, you can't ask how do you know Coca-Cola is not good for Chomer Medina. You know, the Fee Rav Osner, maybe it is good. Rav Moshe goes with a different mahalach. Rav Moshe goes with a mahalach that Chomer Medina has to be a drink that you serve to a guest. It's a chosh of a drink that you serve to a guest, not that you drink when you're, you know, when you're thirsty. It's a drink that has a chshivas to it. Says, hey, you know, chshivas to it. You know, according to Rav Moshe, Vada Coke is a drink that we just stam drink. Moshe ain't getting, you know, tea, coffee, but I'm not getting involved in that. That's a separate parsha. Halacha l'maisa, you know, Avad, it's better. Other places can talk, argue on this Rav Osner. It's about the better not to make, you know, it's hard to say, you know, but I want to, I mean, I'm but it's like a better not to make kiddush on schnapps and whiskey and whatnot. No, if a person, what?
Definitely
make a
yeshiva.
The minute this yeshiva?
I'm going to go to every yeshiva.
And most
yeshiva. No, it's not a riot if they do it on Tuesday. But the minute that they make kiddush on, no. But the Rashiva makes kiddush on it. No. I take it back.
All
saying,
the buffalo were mishaf.
Huh? Only during the the kiddush club with K. K-L-U-B. Yes. The kiddush club. Yes. Okay, we'll talk about that minute a different time. Okay, maybe next week. You're all here next week. We'll talk about next. Right. Now, I want to talk about two more things. I want to talk about like 10 more things. But just the Ilcha Shabbos thing. Rav Osner has an interesting shita. Rav Osner's in. And this again, it's a big Rav Moshe about it. Chelik Ches Samet Chalich, Chelik Hei Lamet Aleph. Moshe's got a big sheet, Rav Osner has a big sheet, excuse me, about zippers. Zippers. Don't worry, you don't have to go freestyle the whole Shabbos, John. But Rav Moshe has a big chiddush. Rav Moshe has a chiddush like this. Rav Osner has a chiddush like this. Rav Osner has a chiddush that, what's Teufer? Right? What's Teufer? We're getting an extra reaction now. Good. Rav Osner has a chiddush like this. What's Teufer? Zog Rav Osner, Teufer means that you're taking two things and you're making them one. That's what Teufer is, right? So you can have bricks, you make two things one, that's Beina. Okay? But if you take two pliable materials and you make them one, that's Teufer. Okay, so the classic example of Teufer is you take a Beged, you sew it together, that's Teufer. And if you take, but the Chazal say, if you take two papers and glue them together, that's also Teufer, right? Because two pliable materials, that's called Teufer. Rav Osner says, you know, a lot of people, they have these coats, and they have like, you know, like a raincoat, and I don't know what goes on now. This is like, I'm from the Alta Haim. I imagine they still have these things. You know, they have like the coats, and they have like an inside lining that you zipper in. Right? They still have it?
Yeah.
I get nervous. Okay. And also they have these inside linings that you can Velcro in. You can Velcro in and whatnot. Okay. So Rav Osner has a chiddush. At least the gabei zipper for sure. The gabei Velcro is a shekel shayla if he says it, but the gabei zipper, he says, look, this zipper you put in there, for, you know, the zipper over here, up, down, that's not considered that. No one looks at this matziv and sees it as one. If you have a pair of pants that the two parts are, you know, together, right, that's called a broken pair of pants, right? You're going to be stuck in them for a while. It's going to be hard to go to the mikvah, right? So that's a vada. No one looks at it as one. So anytime you have two things that when you're mechaber them, we don't see them as one, that's not called teufer. But Dr. Vosner, over here, what is mashlim, the tsura of the coat? Right now, it's a raincoat. What happens when I put in the lining? Now it became a winter coat. And you look at it, that it's there to remain. It's a tsura that exists. Just a moment. It's a tsura that exists. It's a tsura that remains. So says Rav Osner, any tsura that remains, he doesn't give a number, maybe 6 months, maybe whatever. But anything that you put in to be one, that becomes one, that's teufer. And it's a shaila deraisa, according to Rav Osner. According to Rav Osner, it's a shaila deraisa. He holds that you're not allowed to zip in the winter coat, you know, the lining into the winter. We have other things like this. Anybody have other things like this? Things that you zipper for a long time. Huh? Same thing. Now it'll be the opposite of Teufel. It'll be Kareya. Notice once it's in there, it's like, this is Negeya. Because usually, when does it happen? The person has his Shabbos coat. Right? It's not just Negeya. It comes up, it's like, you know, and it wasn't rain, it wasn't cold Shabbos, you know, Shabbos night. It wasn't cold. Shabbos morning, it comes for the first time in 6 months. He has never used his winter coat in the last 6 months, his raincoat, whatever. He goes, you know, it's freezing outside. He goes and he wants to zipper it in. According to Rav Osner, that would be Nisa Deraisa. And again, it's a Negeya case.
So why is it different than like a talus bag?
So, no, because a talus bag is meant to open a coat. A talus bag that the zipper's closed and doesn't open, you look at it, you don't look at it as one. Otherwise, it's a broken talus bag. Right? That's how I once bought a talus bag like that. Right? I tried to return it. It was still a problem. Maybe if anybody... knows. Okay, we'll talk after. But Al Kapanim, the Vaz, you know, we'll talk after. But that's so. The Vaz, how do you argue on Rav Vazner? There's many ways to argue. I'm not going to go into that. So I just want to tell you Rav Moshe's sheet on these in Yonim. Rav Moshe has a tremendous chiddush. I think look before the shiur. I think it was in Beis Peidalid. I think it was in Beis Peidalid. If anyone wants to look after. Come again.
Let's say one button.
So how far is Rav Vazner going to take it? A button. It's something that the Etzim. Is it going to go far? Is it a button too? A Velcro also?
It's not even a full Chibur.
What?
It's not even a full Chibur.
No, in Hilchas Kalayim, in Hilchas Shatnez it is. In Hilchas Shatnez it could be a problem. It's a good shayla. I don't know how far a Fuzz is going to say. Is he going to say Ad Kedei Kach with a button? I don't know. Maisa, I'll be honest with you, is that on this, Rav Moshe has a very, very mistabrit dika kula. But I'm going to tell you, at first you're going to hear Rav Moshe, and you're going to say, Rav Moshe, checkmate, it's so good, right? But then I'm going to ask you a big kasha on Rav Moshe, and then we'll leave it, you know. Rav Moshe says, tremendous society. Rav Moshe says, all the cases that we find in Paiskim, in Shulchan Aruch, about Teufer, are cases that the opposite of Teufer is something that you call Koreya. Listen in English, right? It's usher to glue two pieces of paper together. You know why? Because when I take apart two pieces, it's called you're ripping. Teufer means that I'm doing something that the opposite action of that nice would be ripping. Okay? Listen closely. If I have a baguette, I sew these two parts of the baguette together. Okay? Now, when I would rip it, right? It would be called ripping. So teufer means that you're doing something that the extent of the chibur means that if you'd want to break that connection, you'd be ripping it. That's what teufer is. It's not just something that is now one. He says all the cases that we ever find in Shulchan Aruch and Paiskim are cases that the chibur was of such an extent that the dismantling of that chibur is what's called ripping. So because teufer is the opposite of koreya. So he says, no, lefi this, you understand that lefi Rav Moshe, it doesn't start. The Shaila Pachal doesn't start. Nobody looks at it that when he's putting in the zipper, even if you want to call it teufer, but teufer means that the opposite will be ripping. Because anybody says, I'm ripping out my lining. According to Rav Moshe, it doesn't start. It's got to be a chiber that we, in other words, I'll say it in English. Anytime we have an escape clause within the teufer, that shows you that the chibur that was created is not the type of a chibur which is of such a nature that it requires a ripping to take apart. Good. So according to Rav Moshe, that's why for sure buttons, zipper doesn't start, and zipper doesn't start because when a person has a zipper, he doesn't look at it as an extent of. Sounds beautiful, right? How could you argue in Rav Moshe? Rav Moshe was the king. How could you argue in Rav Moshe, right? The only thing is a big kasha on Rav Moshe.
When you pull out,
boss,
if you were teufer and you were able to pull out.
So Rav Moshe, I think, deals with that. He says like this. He says because that's not fair. Because the normal way of that chibur is a chibur that's created through tefira.
That's the definition of teufer.
No, the fact that you maybe went out of your way and didn't rip it doesn't mean that. Therefore, it means any chibur that when I would dismantle it in the normal fashion of something that is sewn together, it's you rip it apart. You want to know if the guy would go into the fibers and start going out one by one and undoing the teufer. It's true. But the chibur is a chibur which has the shape teufer because of the fact that the normal tsura of its dismantling is a correct.
So why didn't Moshe just ask it? It's not a teufer.
What do you mean?
Why didn't he say that's not
a teufer? No, because we find gluing is also called teufer. No, gluing is teufer. Gluing is also called teufer.
So he holds that the zipper is called teufer.
No. Why?
So the zipper is called teufer.
No, but Ramesh is saying that you can't have a teufer unless you have something that its opposite effect is going to be a ripping.
Right, but he's saying teufer doesn't mean a ma'isa tefira. It means something that's mechaber.
No, everyone agrees that it's not a ma'isa chibur because avadim gluing together. It doesn't have to be a ma'isa teufer. No one says it has to be a ma'isa teufer because gluing the first is teufer. So you see, chibur is it. The question is, what level chibur? Right.
That's basically what
Ramesh
is saying. Is it's not chakalkil.
If it's not something that would require a kilbo.
So I'm just in the right extreme.
No, but that, the word is that you found a patent. Right. Now, if I say, there's one problem with this Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is coming to argue on a Mishabruah. That's a problem. Rav Moshe is saying such a gevaldik. You know what he's coming to argue over there? Rav Moshe holds that if you take a safety pin, and you mechaber a safety pin together, you know, sometimes a person has like the cuff on the bottom, and it comes out. So he takes a safety pin and he puts it in there, it's a way that no one can see, and it can stay like that, loylem vod. Right? The Mishabura brings down in Simon Shin Mem, Mishabura brings this down from a Korban Tzana, from a Kiva Eger, that this is usher. He says, what did you do? You were mechaber two parts, this part and that part together. You mechaber with a metal pin, it doesn't matter. But now you mechaber it through a safety pin, says the Kiva Eger, says the Korban Tzana, that's usher. Okay? Now, What?
It's not the derech to stay like that.
So let's go in order. In other words, the Chazanish starts discussing maybe it'll be dependent if you did something in a way where it's nicker clearly that it's being used as a button. You know, you have a safety pin like of some dreadful looking creature on the outside of your pants, like everywhere the guy.
So everyone's
like,
it could be.
You know, saying I got like tape on the glass. That matters, right? And everyone knows. I'm that guy, so I can make fun of them. You know. So that case, then you're right. Then it's clear. You know, I have a safety pin on a diaper. The Chazanish talks about. So everyone understands that that's not going to remain, right? Olden day diapers. You fancy people with fancy new disposable diapers. I remember. You know, remember? Remember? Yeah, remember on the repeset hanging out to dry. You remember? Talking fancy people. But anyways, so that everyone understands is a button. You see it as a button. The question will be the question will be that if you have a safety pin in a way where it's totally not nicker and it could remain. You know how these things are. Person, he did it and he doesn't remember next week. It's something that could remain. It doesn't look like a button. So that's what the Korban HaSamal is talking about. But Lemaisa again, what's this moment? According to Ramesha, and Ramesha says this, not me. Ramesha says, no, lefi me, it's mutter. Why? Avada. According to Ramesha, you put a safety pin which it connects two things. Yeah. According to Ramesha, is that called a toifer? Toifer means that the opposite action is going to be kareya. Does anybody in his right mind, he puts a safety pin in, he sees like, he connected it to such an extent that in order to break it apart, he has to rip it. No, avada not. Because the normal way of opening up a safety pin, it's an escape clause. Anytime there's an escape clause within the methodology of the tefira, so Ramesha says that that's not called a tefira. What's that called? That's called a chleis. It's like a button. So Maisa, if you were Moshe, he's coming to argue on the Mishnah. Again, according to Rav, you would see not like this, Yisayid. You'd see, what's Yisayid? Yisayid is Chibur, putting two things together. That's where Vazner comes from. Alach l'maisa, Ramesha Dach Ramesha, saying Ramesha had the Mishabura open on the table, and Afapikin he argued on the Mishabura. Right? So l'maisa, Alach l'maisa, it's kind of fine, there's a makim to be made like Rav Moshe. I heard you say it, you know, it's a big shiloh. So Shaila of Deraisa, the coat for sure, a person, why shouldn't he do it before Shabbos? If it comes that Shabbos, it's freezing cold, no, it's a makim to be makel. Right? Promotion, the Sikhar makim to be makel. Certainly the Chatrili shouldn't do it. Right? But it's a makim to be makel, like the Goyen of Maisha.
The pin is not more of a Maisha.
They talk, they want to say maybe that shot, they want to say because it's a Tzura Satvir, because it's a metal thread. Maybe, but the Maisha is not saying that.
No, saying that.
I understand, but the Rav Moshe argues on the Mishabura, and he doesn't offer up that suggestion. He just says it's wrong, right? That's strength, right? It's understandable, he says. But that's I'll answer one last one. We have 1 minute, I think. No, yeah, we have 1 minute.
Without zipping.
Come again?
Wearing without zipping. Put it on like a coat and
put one on and then the other.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. Just wearing without, if he doesn't wear it without zipping it, I don't have a problem with that.
It's not
too begotten. What? No, but you're allowed to wear it. You're allowed to wear it, and that's, even though you'll say maybe it's not the derech and whatever, but I don't know, the person's cold. You know, if they'll say the zipper's broken, I think a normal person would do that. Right? All right, maybe guys that drool would do that, but I'm saying, but it's definitely something that's, you know, doable. What do you say?
It's like wearing two shirts now. Is there a problem with that?
Yeah, no. You're allowed to wear two shirts. It says in the first, you're allowed to wear two shirts. It says, you're not only that, you're allowed even to wear, I'm allowed to wear, somebody had the shaila a few days ago in the mikvah, a few weeks ago, that his shirt fell in the mikvah, fragnished. It's a different room. Sorry. His shirt fell in the mikvah. Right? You want to, should I kick you out? I'll kick you out. Okay? Somehow his shirt fell in the mikvah. Right? So he wanted to know, right? He wanted to know, there he's upset. Okay, Meister, now it's Israel, there's an Erev and whatever, Shem, but he's Machmer. So he wanted to know that Lishita Soy, is he allowed to get his son to wear a second shirt? Right? Machmer should be Machmer, the dude who's. Shirt fell in the mikvah, you know. But Akabani wanted to know, can he get his son to wear a second shirt from the house, right, to come to the mikvah, and now he'll be wearing two shirts, and then he'll take off that shirt to give it to him. Right? So that's mutter. You're allowed to wear a second shirt in order...
What was he wearing when he
asked for the shiloh? No, he asked after the shiloh. Yeah, you know, he came to the base measure with just the back of his shirt sitting.
He was a young child.
So that's another shaila. I don't want to get into this, but the shaila went. But he's a lalamdim and stuff. But the shaila was is that he's going to ask his son's this tall, right? He's a big Chassidish guy named Zundel. He's Zundel. I don't know what happens to you guys. Right? We haven't discussed the difference between Shlemiel and Shemazel. We have to talk about this one day, no? We'll talk about it maybe next time. Right? But is Anshul Zundel. So now there's Zundel walking through the street with dad's shirt. Right? You know, if he gets there, we're not getting arrested first, right? So yeah, so that's a shaila. That's a big shaila. Is that called a derech levisha as well when you're wearing a shirt which is all that extra, you know, schnitzel, right, over there from the... That's a very big shaila. That's a big shaila, but the bus is leaving Tashdod, and I wouldn't want to be the cause of your late departure. No, don't worry. You're not going to see me again. There's nothing to worry about. Because Lamaisa, in the Sanhedrin, we're embarrassed that I can be punishable by Mrs. Bates.